This is 89.1 KUAR. I'm Michael Heplin. We're going now to a live press briefing. Governor Asa Hutchinson and state officials about to give an update on the situation in Arkansas involving the coronavirus. At this point, the Arkansas Department of Health reporting 381 confirmed cases of the coronavirus. Yesterday, Arkansas saw its third death. This comes as a special session of the Arkansas legislature is underway. That's to resume here at 3 o'clock. This press briefing is coming from the state capitol. Governor Hutchinson to be joined by Dr. Nate Smith with the Arkansas Department of Health. We'll also see who else joins him today. The special session of the legislature is expected to continue through tomorrow. Then the House and Senate are expected to give final approval to shifting around state money to address a budget shortfall because of the pandemic. Watching a live feed now from the governor's conference room. Officials have walked in. No sign of the governor just yet. And now Governor Asa Hutchinson.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining me for this update of our COVID-19 emergency here in Arkansas. I'm delighted to be joined again by Secretary Nate Smith, who will give a report later. And today I'm glad to have Attorney General Leslie Rutledge for a special announcement, and also joined by Colonel Bill Bryant of the Arkansas State Police. Yesterday, I reported 35 cases of COVID-19 here in Arkansas. Today, that number has gone up to 381. There are no new counties that are involved in this. And another number that I'm watching very closely, in addition to the cases of 381, is the hospitalizations are at 48. Now, I want to talk for a moment today about the future. And everyone can go online and look at modeling. And they can look at what's happened in New York, Washington State. They can look at what's happened across the globe. And there's a number of different studies as to what the future can look like based upon a trend line, based upon the number of cases, based upon all the different factors on socialization or limiting social contact that we're engaged in. And then you try to anticipate what your future looks like in terms of cases and hospitalization, ICU units that are necessary, as well as ventilators. And that's important for us to look at the future, and we're doing that. And you look at the different models, and they range wildly based upon the information that is put into those models. And some of the estimated hospitalizations that you look at from our future on the different models range from 2,000 to 15,000 COVID-19 patients. That's a very, very wide range. And so we have to evaluate each day as to what's changed, what new information, data do we have to take into consideration. Our plan is to do all we can to beat the worst models or the worst case scenario, and to reduce the case number and the hospitalization rate. And I wanted to show a graph today that was prepared by our public health experts at the Department of Health, led by Dr. Smith. And as you can see, and this is Arkansas, and these are not hospitalizations, but these are cases. And you can see that these are actual numbers from where we started with zero on the cases going through the current time frame, March 25th, and it increases. And then under the models, you have a more significant increase. And this modeling takes us into mid-April. And during that time frame, as you can see, we'll go from our current number of cases, which today is 381, that we could go to 2,000 cases by the first week in April, and we could be in 2 weeks to 3,500 cases in Arkansas. Now, this is modeling that's based upon what's happened in other states, what the experts tell us. It doesn't mean it's going to have to happen in Arkansas, but those are the kinds of projections that we're trying to anticipate, and we're sharing that story with you. Now, that's not hospitalizations, and if you looked even at a 20% hospitalization rate, and if you have 3,502 weeks, that's 700 cases that are hospitalized in our state. That means as you go further down the line, and we don't know, the peak could be anywhere from April 25th to June 1st on this modeling. And if that modeling is correct, then that trend line will continue to come up. The cases and hospitalization will go up. My goal is to beat those numbers. And that's what we're trying to do as a state, to beat the modeling, that trend. At the same time, we want to do everything we can to beat that modeling. We also want to prepare for the worst case scenario. And that is why today I've authorized additional National Guard, the Arkansas Department of Health, and the Corps of Engineers in expanding our capacity of hospital beds in Arkansas. That is what is needed to plan for the future. We want to get ahead of the curve and to make sure that we don't have to make difficult choices down the road. And they'll be providing engineering and architectural experience and their expertise, working with the Corps of Engineers and the Department of Health to expand and to plan for hospital bed expansion in Arkansas. We have also, when you look to the need down the road in terms of ventilators, we have placed an order for 500 ventilators in Arkansas. This is a massive expansion of our current capacity. Now, let me emphasize that when we place an order for 500 ventilators, one, you have to be prepared to pay for it, but secondly, you also have to understand that the Department of Defense could come in there and say, we want those ventilators. Or it could be a higher priority going to another state. And so we place the order, we have to be ready to pay for them so we can have the capacity in Arkansas that we need. But if I come back 2 weeks later and express some disappointment, please understand that we're fighting, we're trying to get those ventilators that we believe under the modeling that we will need here in Arkansas. The other part of the equation is not just to be prepared for what's ahead in a worst case scenario, but also to use the tools at our hand in order to reduce that trend line, to reduce the number of cases and the potential hospitalization. To do that, I have to enlist the support of every Arkansan in order to not gather in groups of more than 10 for social purposes, to utilize social distancing, and to follow the directives of the Department of Health. We need everyone's assistance. And I have to look at this from a personal standpoint. I've got 6 grandchildren. I've got sons and daughters. I'm concerned about being able to spend time with them. I'm concerned about also their health and not exposing them to anything. And so we have to, even as families, make sure that we protect each other. My lovely wife, I want to make sure she doesn't come down with this. And so we're taking those steps in protecting each other. Every person in Arkansas needs to have the same level of concern. And when you don't have to be out, when you aren't doing your essential services, when you don't have to go to the grocery store, let's make sure we keep our social distancing and follow the guidelines. As a part of this, we announced that the guidelines on social gatherings of more than 10 people, which is prohibited in certain venues, that became a directive, which gave it the force of law. Today, I've had conversations with our law enforcement partners, from sheriffs to chiefs of police and the state police and our parks and game and fish, and ask them to help us to enforce and to guide people to make sure they're aware of this and to make sure that they are in compliance with it. I'll ask Colonel Bryant, as we go through this today, to say more words about that. And so with that, I invite Dr. Nate Smith to come and make his comments.
This is the Secretary of the Department of Health.
Thank you, Governor. I appreciate you showing the numbers and your leadership on this. As the governor has already mentioned, we're up to 381 cases, which is an increase of 46 from yesterday. Of those, we have 15 children, 18 years of age or younger. We have 124 older Arkansans, age 65 or older, and 242 in the 19 to 64-year-old range. We have, as the governor mentioned, patients, that's up 7 from yesterday. We have 17 who are on ventilators, and that's up 4 from yesterday. We continue to have 42 in nursing homes, that's unchanged, and we have 19 who have recovered, who meet that criteria for recovery, and we have no new deaths and no new counties. I want to briefly talk about some of our work. As the governor has mentioned, we're looking at projections and models. There's a wide range out there in terms of where we're going to be in a month or two. The numbers that he showed, our graph is trying to project out a couple of weeks using what we know about the curve of infectious diseases, communicable diseases, and using a computer algorithm to find a best fit for that curve. The further out you try and project, the less accurate it becomes. But this gives us a sense of where we might be in 2 weeks, and also helps us to decide what we need to do now to put ourselves in a better position for the near future. We're also working with hospitals to help them build their capacity so that as we get more patients in the hospital, they'll not be overwhelmed, that we have some additional bed capacity, et cetera. But what we do now is going to impact how many people become sick, how many people end up in the hospital, how many need higher levels of care. And so limiting gatherings is really, really important, as the governor mentioned. And those are now a directive. They have the force of law. But we're not out there to try and put people in jail or anything of that sort. The first thing we do if we hear about a gathering that's going to be significantly more than 10 people is we have our environmental health specialists go out and talk to the organizers, make them familiar with our directive, help them to decide whether the best decision is to cancel, to postpone, to virtualize that, so many people together, or if they're going to gather together, how we can make that as safe as possible. I have with me here Mr. Terry Paul, who's our branch chief for environmental health, and he's the guy who goes out and helps people to problem solve so that we can continue to live our lives and do the things we need to do, but to do them safely in a way that doesn't spread COVID-19. The last thing I want to mention is that those who are watching this from outside this room may see we're all wearing these little pink bracelets. It's not a fashion statement. When we enter the Capitol now, our temperature is taken. We're asked about travel. We're asked about contact with someone who might have COVID-19. And that's to protect the people in this building. We do the same thing at the Arkansas Department of Health building. We encourage employers and others to do that kind of screening, just to keep the people safe when we do have to gather in one place. With that, I thank you, and I turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. And now, Attorney General has been a great partner through this. She's been here before talking about price gouging, but I mentioned the importance of our personal protective equipment and the acquisitions we make for our hospitals and caregivers. And I want to introduce the Attorney General for an announcement.
This is Leslie Rutledge.
Well, thank you, Governor. Good afternoon, everyone. I want to thank the governor again for his leadership that he has demonstrated for the last 5.5 years, but particularly over the last couple of weeks. And it's just been 2 weeks, although many of us, and I know folks at home, feel like it's been 2 months or 2 years. And so as we have worked through these last couple of weeks, he's been an incredible leader for our state, and I want to thank him for that. Also want to thank Dr. Smith for all that he and the Department of Health have done to inform us and to give us great advice and information every day. And it's always a pleasure to be here with State Police Colonel Bill Bryant. Last week, I was able to announce that we committed $3 million from the Consumer Education and Enforcement Fund to go toward the Arkansas Economic Development Commission's Quick Action Loan Program to help our small businesses who were negatively impacted right now because of COVID-19. And today, I want to announce that we are allocating $1 million from that same Consumer Education and Enforcement Fund to UAMS and to our hospitals, part of that same $30 million that the governor announced, dollars into that as well to ensure that our healthcare providers, our nurses, our doctors, our physician's assistants are able to acquire the gowns, the masks, the things that they need to keep them safe. Because all of us understand that if our healthcare providers are at risk, we will all be at risk. And it's imperative that we help them and to make sure that they are not exponentially impacting Arkansans. On price gouging, just a quick announcement that we have received in these last couple of weeks, almost 500 price gouging complaints. We have about 25 open investigations. This ranges from the price gouging that UAMS and other hospitals have experienced through trying to obtain masks that had been about $1 that are now $20. Likewise, we have seen some small convenience stores who have increased the cost of toilet paper and hand sanitizers. We have also worked very closely with Amazon, eBay, Walmart, other online retailers to ensure that they are shutting down third-party vendors. They have allowed us, eBay has, to set up an account so that way we can personally reach out to these sellers and inform them that they are breaking the law in Arkansas. These do come with a very strict penalty of up to $10,000 fine per violation or a criminal conviction. And we are working not only here in Arkansas, but with attorneys general from across the country, been on numerous phone call conversations with the White House, Department of Justice, the U.S. Surgeon General, as well as my colleagues across the country to combat this. And again, I just encourage everyone to stay home if you can to be. I too have family that are older and that are younger. I have a 20-month-old and an 88-year-old at my house, in addition to my husband and I. And so we all must look after our family and friends during this time. Thank you.
Thank you, General. And now, Colonel Bryant.
This is Colonel Bill Bryant with the Arkansas State Police.
Thank you, Governor. Just as the governor mentioned before, we had an outstanding conversation today with our police department, sheriff's office, prosecuting attorney association, Arkansas Game and Fish, and other law enforcement throughout the state. I'm very proud to say here in Arkansas, all of our federal, state, local, and county law enforcement, we're committed together as a team. Our job is to protect and serve the citizens of Arkansas. We talked about the directives that came down, and law enforcement as a whole, we're going to do a reasonable approach to people who have violated this directive, try to seek voluntary compliance, and hopefully we won't have to use the enforcement component if deemed necessary. We will, but we try to avoid just use common sense to Arkansans. That's our job, is to make sure that every Arkansan is safe from this virus. We will continue to work with each other in the team, in the governor's office, but not only is law enforcement, protect and serve everybody up here, our main goal as state government is to protect and serve the citizens of Arkansas. With that, Governor, we appreciate you, your guidance, your great background and little approach to Arkansans, and I think they will listen to these common sense approaches. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. A good illustration is that the other day we had a call into the office from a constituent in Arkansas that said there's a event plan. She sent a flyer in that was well over 500 people, and we took action through our Department of Health to call them and reminded them of our directive and guidance, and they switched from a mass gathering together and broke it into multiple groups of 10 or fewer that they could do virtually. And so citizens want to do the right thing. Sometimes they have to be reminded. That's really what I've asked our law enforcement to do, but if there's egregious behavior, they can enforce the law. With that, we'll be happy to take any questions.
This is 89.1 KUAR. We're listening to a live briefing with Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson and state officials.
Well, first of all, there is in our country a reluctance and a resistance to the state telling the churches what to do. There is that freedom that we have, and I have great respect for that. Some people simply call it the separation of church and state. But if you look at the guidance, we made it very clear while places of worship are exempt from the strict directive, they are given the strongest guidance to follow and to how to do this. It also says that if there is a judgment by our public health director, Dr. Smith, that this violates public health, then he can take measures to further prohibit that kind of gathering that might endanger public health. So I think it's a good balanced directive, but that's the reasoning that we did not include them on the specific language of the directive.
You know, I know you mentioned yesterday about the a plan to kind of help the homeless population. Will it include resources for testing and quarantine once it's in place or when it goes into place?
Yes, we recognize that's a unique population and that one, there could be a need for testing and we have that capability, but then if they prove positive, where do they go? They can't be in a congregate shelter with others in a quarantined isolation type facility, and our Department of Health and Emergency Management has developed a capacity to house those as needed.
Are we still waiting for results or approval from CMS with the $116 million proposal from yesterday?
Yes, I have not received word today, so that means we're still waiting. Dr. Smith, did you have anything else to add to that on the homeless? Are you good? Yeah.
The homeless population is one that we're particularly concerned about. We have some of my staff who are specifically involved in trying to problem solve, work with those who work with homeless shelters, et cetera. We've been working with that population for some time to control hepatitis A, and so we're building on those partnerships.
Yes.
Was that the worst case scenario, the model that you presented here?
No, that is our estimation based upon all the data that we have. So I don't... Cases. That's the growth of cases over the next couple of weeks.
What was the model that you used?
Well, Dr. Smith?
What this model is basically just doing a best fit curve. That doesn't really... The further you go out with that, the less precise it can be. But this gives us an idea for the next couple of weeks what we can expect and how our prevention efforts can impact that.
So who defines the model? I guess is what I'm asking.
Dr. Austin Porter is my deputy director for science. He's also faculty at the College of Public Health. He and his colleagues at the UAMS College of Public Health have been looking at this and working through a whole variety of different modeling activities to try and estimate what our needs for various things will be, and looking at also models that are already out there, looking at the whole shape of the curve. And as the governor's mentioned, you can see a variety of models. Some of them have already been done state-specific for all 50 states. There's, of course, the Harvard one that American Hospital Association has put out to their members, and then also Washington University a couple days ago came out with their state-specific modeling, and there's a lot of difference between these. University of Pennsylvania also has a modeling program that you can put in data from a state, and that gives a third estimate. So we're looking at those carefully. As we go along, we'll get a better idea of what our trajectory is. This gives us some idea where we're going to be probably in the next week or two in terms of planning ahead for healthcare. We need to realize that there's a lot of uncertainty. When there's uncertainty, it's probably the best thing is to hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
We'll go there, but I want to answer just a little bit more there that Dr. Smith's, one of his many jobs is to give us an estimate of the future based upon the best scientific data. He's done that. My hope is that we can beat it. My job is also to anticipate the worst case scenario, and that's what we've tried to outline today. Yes.
Are you still expecting the peak hospitalizations to be 1,000 beds? And if this is our trajectory, how many are we going to need more hospital beds than we have now, and how many more would we need?
It's really too early to determine it. Again, first of all, what a week ago, I estimated 6 to 8 weeks that we would be at the peak and that we could have 1,000 hospitalizations. There's some of the models that exceed that, and they would say that's a very optimistic approach. If you look at this, we're not going that far out, but here at 3,500 cases, 20% hospitalization would be 750, so it's less, but we're still in the upward trend. So it's too early to tell. We look at the data every day and make our best judgment as to where we're going in the future. But we have to plan further down the road, whether it's ventilators or hospital beds. We have to plan for that worst case scenario because we're committed not to have our healthcare professionals have to make difficult choices. We want everyone to have that kind of access to a bed, to ICU, and to a ventilator as needed. Yes.
Ventilators are in the state currently.
I had that number. Do you remember?
There's some variation. A couple days ago, I gave the number of 571 as our inventory. There are a few more that we've identified, so we'll be updating those. That's a ballpark figure of where we are right now. Now remember, if we had to, there's a number of anesthesia machines out there, particularly in ambulatory surgical centers, that could be converted into a ventilator. So there's some things that we can do to grow that capacity even without getting additional ventilators. But you know, this is an issue that all states are dealing with. They want to make sure that they're as well prepared as possible on the ventilator side.
Continue to be closed as the numbers continue to rise.
The date is still April 17th. We'll see if we beat that curve and what happens on that curve. The final decision will probably be made, you know, at least a week out to give our schools notice on that. But right at this point, the actual schools itself, themselves as physical locations for education will be opened April 17th. Online education continues regardless.
Now, you guys have been doing this for 2 weeks now. How are you feeling right now? You know, just keep doing this, numbers keep going up. How are you taking this all in?
Energy level's good. Focus is at a high level, and I recognize what an incredible team that we have from the Department of Health to my staff to everyone in state government, but our first responders, everybody is just there recognizing that, and then they go home and you have social isolation or distancing. That's a challenge for us, but Arkansas is strong and we're energized, and we're going to continue to work together as a team.
We've been listening to a live press briefing, Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson and state officials giving the latest. Now Arkansas at 381 confirmed cases of the coronavirus. No new counties are reported today, though the governor said there he is watching the number of people who are hospitalized, which is now at 48. In terms of the discussion there about anticipating where we could be in a couple of weeks. The governor said, looking at models based on what has happened in other states around the country and around the world, Arkansas could have 2,000 cases by the first week of next month, 3,500 cases potentially within 2 weeks. We'll have more later this afternoon during All Things Considered. For now, I'm Michael Heplin. This is 89.1 KUAR, Little Rock, a listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas at Little Rock.